In fact,
another thing that Fitzgerald says that I thought was interesting was that the formularity is a little bit like paragraphing and punctuation, right?
Well, it is a little bit like that. It's how lines are rounded out. You get a sense of closure achieved, you know, with the formulaic ending to the line, the shepherd of his people. What more could you say? Mm-hmm. It's, that sentence is over,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I am, people ask me, what do you work on the most? What I work on, my unit of composition is actually the verse paragraph. Mm. Certainly not the word. You might say the sentence, but, you know, sentences are going to go on two or three lines. I'm very careful about how lines end, especially. I'm careful about enjambments, pauses. I'm shaping it. I'm always shaping the contours, the rhetorical contours, the rhythmic contours. I pay much more attention to that than I do to the words, you know, in terms of the lexical meaning.
Individual equivalences.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, I've actually done this. I've submitted a passage of my translation to a Greek teacher. I said, okay, grade this as a translation. Done it several times. It always gets like a B, from a B minus to a B plus. It never gets even an A minus. Somebody were to hand this in a Greek exam.
Well,
I think that's where you want to be.
But I think there's might be a distinction, too, when you look at people who are often clever at translating short bits, but not the long haul, right?
That's the other thing. You're translating an epic, so you have to have something that can be sustained over hundreds of pages. You have to be aware of different levels of intensity, and Homer is your master there. That's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's taking a break right in the middle of battle, you know, because we need it too. he knows how to do this. And the formulas help with that. It allows him to take a breath, and probably literally in performance, that's mm-hmm. maybe one of their original functions. You don't have to be coming up with something else to say. If you want to say Achilles and you have half a line to say it, you have the formulas, Dios Podarces Achilles, brilliant, swift-footed Achilles. And I represent enough of that, I hope, to give people an idea that there is formulaic language
mm-hmm.
here. Maybe I represent 60%, a little more than half. And I think that's enough. And others would have their own opinion.
Well, that's. Can we talk about that for a minute? Just because, with the change in paradigm, thinking of Homeric poetry as oral poetry, formularity seems to be a thing that maybe changes a little bit how you experience it. Do you find that this can be a trap in and of itself,
Well, it can be. I think of translation, of Greek epic as a kind of symmetry. So you have originally an oral performance, and that's all it is for perhaps generations. Then finally we get a text, a Greek text, and that goes through an enormous editorial process, culminating in ancient Greece, the Library of Alexandria, and then finally, you get the Oxford Classical Edition. So you have the oral performance, the ancient Greek text, the modern editions, and, one of my colleagues who was Italian says, textual criticism is the heart of the humanities. We wouldn't have texts if it weren't for the people who worked with the manuscripts and made judgments. But anyway, you wind up with this text, and then you have an English translation, but that's not complete. It has not fully been made public until there's a performance.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin with a performance, you have texts in the middle, and you end with a performance. That's why it was so important to me to bring out audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember at one point you had a question, one of the questions about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the ideal market? And I would like to think that the ideal market is a listener.
Mm-hmm.
At least someone who's really hearing it read out loud as the eyes are on the page, who's sub-vocalizing anyway, finds a voice for Agamemnon, another voice, you know, for Achilles, a voice for the narrator. The similes come drifting in from another world. And so, you know, my printed page is scripted. You know, the similes are italicized and indented and spaced. I use a lot of space. When there's a really strong caesura, midline pause, I might drop down to another line for it. In the passage I just read, and like a bronze bolt in the center, that's dropped down as the second half of the line that was, you know, preceded it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want it to be alive visually, and I want that to suggest, you know, the intonations and the phrasing. And so insofar as that's possible. But I don't believe in like a solid block of text. So, you know, so Lattimore's wonderful translation is a solid block of text, just as the Oxford Classical Edition is.
You know,
just put them side by side, and it's the same. But I want to script it as much as possible.